of a rainy, wet morning. Temperature is supposed to change, and maybe it's going to start being fall, Christmas kind of weather before long. So we're glad to see you, those of you that are here, those that are in the parking lot, and I know Miss Eugenia and Billy are over at her house, and so we're glad to see each of you this morning. I've got several announcements this morning, and I'll probably mess them up, but we're going to try our best. First one, if you did not, or if you have not, on your way in, are they only on this side, Hank? Yeah. The proposed budget is over here by the piano by D, so if you will get you a copy of that to look over before you leave or when you leave. Next Sunday morning, according to our bylaws, will be the discussion of the budget during this time. And then the next Sunday, which would be December the 12th, we will vote on the budget just by ballot, secret ballot, and it'll be done. So get you a copy this week. Look it over. If you have any questions, then Hank will be ready to lead that discussion next week for the budget and then voting the next Sunday. Last Sunday evening, we had 11 or 12 or... and then Parker and Powell were running. So we probably had 14 people here, and we packed shoeboxes. We ended up with 168 shoeboxes. And our goal was 150, right, Mish? And so we surpassed our goal, and thank you to everyone who packed one beforehand, who gave money to have one packed and sent, and to those who came that we packed them. Now, y'all, she was almost as organized as you are. I mean, it was like, okay, you go on these tables and you got this, 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 and these tables got this, and these tables got this, go. And it was very, very well done. And Misha, thank you for all the work you did on that. That was good. Yeah, we can clap for her. That's a good thing. Now, what happens with the shoe boxes? Larry and I loaded them onto our trailer, and we carried them to Blakely Sunday night when we finished. Put them on a bigger trailer in Blakely. They were carried to Dothan on Monday and loaded on, I guess, a semi or something, and then transported to Atlanta late Monday evening. All the shoebox labels had a barcode on it. Correct me if I'm wrong, Amish. And everyone was scanned. So we will know whenever where our shoeboxes are going. Okay, but we will know eventually where the shoeboxes ended up, and so that's pretty neat. And we talked about that in Sunday school, Linnell, with the quilts and the shoeboxes. You know, God's got a plan for every one of the, excuse me, John, for every one of those shoeboxes. He's got it figured out. However many thousands or millions of shoeboxes there are, God knows who's going to get each one, and that's pretty cool. All right, then the third announcement, this Wednesday morning, the senior adult Sunday school will convene again here in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock. So if you think you're a senior adult, or if you are not thinking you're a senior adult and you got some time, come on Wednesday morning, join them in here for the Sunday school lesson for the senior adult group. Does anybody else have an announcement per se to add to this part right now? All right, if not, let's go to prayer request. Certainly, we need to remember the Rob Toll family. He passed away Friday evening. Jim East family from down around Cockwood. Mr. Jim passed away Wednesday. What else? Any prayer requests? Anybody else? Anything particular? Anybody we need to remember? Family, friends, whatever. We mentioned something else. Oh, we had a praise through all that. Mike mentioned that Larry's cousin, Mark Worsley, who had, you know, dealt with the COVID, was over in Dothan Sunday night at the prayer vigil that they were doing for Mr. Jim East, and that, you know, it was good to see him. Certainly he's got some way to go, but it was good to see him as he's recovering from the COVID virus. Yeah, Mr. Hollis's brother, Mr. Quentin, he passed away this past week, and they hadn't decided quite yet, have they, Mr. Hollis? I'm just going to do a memorial service for Mr. Quentin. What? They did it yesterday. Okay, he wasn't sure when I told him the other day. Okay, so we got that. Anything else? Anybody? Any prayer request? It's good to see y'all today. What we'll do here, we're gonna have a prayer. And y'all, it's the Christmas season now. We've had many things to be thankful for. Thanksgiving. This has been a crazy year, as we talked about in Sunday school, but we're still here and God's still in control. And so we have things to be thankful for, but now we're entering into the Christmas season, which is when we've received the greatest gift ever, and that was the birth of Jesus. So after we pray, y'all, we're taking a big step today. We're going to sing two songs this morning, so y'all just be ready. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing. Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come to your house and to worship you and to study your word and to draw closer to you and your will for our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season that we're coming into. But just as much, we thank you for the Thanksgiving season that we've just come out of. And Lord, even though 2020 has not been the best year in our lives and in our country and in our world, we still have so many things to be thankful for. And we just pray that you'll help us to remember that you're still in charge. No matter what, you're still in charge, Lord. And as we talked about in our Sunday school class, Christians have the Holy Spirit in them, and Lord, we know that peace. That peace that only comes from a relationship with you. And we pray that you'll be allowing us to share that peace with others so that others may come to know you. Lord, we pray for those that have been mentioned. We certainly pray for the Toll family and the East family that you will be with them during this time. Lord, we thank you for the healing that Mark Worsley has had. And not only him, Lord, but many others that have been healed from COVID, from other sicknesses, other illnesses. And Lord, we just pray you'll continue to lead us. And Lord, I want to mention Ronnie Flood, that you would remember his family as he passed away yesterday. And just be with them at this time and go with us as we go throughout this day, as we go throughout this week. We pray you be with Rick as he brings our message. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Y'all, I just mentioned Ronnie Flood. Mickey brought this up at the end of Sunday school. Ronnie Flood was the guy that lived between here and Blakely on the top of the hill on the left, that was always raking his yard or always walking up and down the road. We call him what'd you call him, John? The tan man. You know, he always wore his shorts. He passed away yesterday from cancer. So we need to remember his wife and their family. All right, let's sing. We're going to sing two verses of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and then we're going to jump over and sing two verses of Angels We Have Heard on High. I'll let you sit down. I'm going to get another microphone. Yeah, John, if I can find it. There we go. Go ahead, dude.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mighty lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. See him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Thank you. I didn't feel good saying that. Okay, I couldn't see any smile, but I know you can do it.
Group right there. If you would take your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And this week I was preparing, thinking that we were going to be going into our, finally, the destination of Ephesians 6. We've been studying about spiritual warfare, getting prepared. And then I noticed where Mike had chosen a couple of Christmas songs. And I thought, you know, talking about spiritual demons and stuff like that wouldn't be a good plan to do on a Christmas on a Christmas song day. So I thought, since both songs dealt with angels, that we would look at how relevant angels were in the days of Christ and even in the Old Testament, and how we can relate the way the angels performed and did ministries in the Old Testament and some in the New, mostly in the Old. How the Holy Spirit sort of, we can compare how He works in our lives as well. So in 1 Timothy 3:16, sort of a verse that sort of jumps us off as we're going to look at the ministry of angels. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you love us so much. Father, you remind us of that every single day. We know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and Father, we are to rejoice in it. It's glad that we have this another opportunity, Lord, to come together as your church, your body of Christ, that we might sing together, we might fellowship, and we might pray, and we might listen to the Word of God and make decisions today for your honor and your glory. Lord, it's amazing how many times angels are seen in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how relevant they were, and how valuable and important they were in the ministry, in the lives of men and women of God. And Father, we pray that today your Holy Spirit would help us as we learn about angels and how they are very much a prophet for us today in our leading and our directing and helping us in so many ways. And in fact, I believe, Father, when we get to heaven, there are going to be times where we're going to be told how many times our lives were even saved because of situations that we were in and how angels intervened. And we're thankful for that. Father, we pray that you will open up our hearts, our eyes, that we might see and hear and learn, that your word would teach us exactly what we need to learn today. And we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. In this particular verse, basically, Paul's teaching a young pastor by the name of Timothy, giving an overview or a summary of the gospel. When he says God was manifested in the flesh, that talks to us basically about Christmas, that God came in flesh form, the incarnation. And then it says justified in the spirit, that he was righteous in the lifestyle that he lived. And yet he was seen by angels. In fact, from the very beginning of beginnings, from Genesis all the way through us, but especially in the life of Jesus, we see the presence of angels over and over and over again. And then here, preached among the Gentiles, that's good news for us, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 11, that he came into his own, yet his own received him not. Yet those who did receive him became sons of God. So that's good for us as Gentiles. And then those that believed Christ, and then finally received up into glory. Basically his life, his death, his burial, resurrection, and ascension that we find in the Word of God. So what about angels? It says that angels, that Christ was seen by angels. That we know the word seen is the word beheld. The word also means to view or to be an attendant of. And yet it was amazing in our study this week just how many times we saw angels in the life of Christ. We know that angels were created by God Almighty. We don't know exactly when they were created. We know the Bible teaches in Colossians 1:16 that the angels were created by God for a purpose and for a reason. And we know that in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 6, it talks about where he created the firmament or the expanse or heaven itself. And that's a possibility there. Or in day 4, when he created the stellar stars, the planets, possibly they could have been created. But we know from Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1 that they were created before the seventh day. Because Moses writes in chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And so we know they were created before the seventh day. He created all angels. Unfortunately, we know from Isaiah 14 that we studied not too many weeks ago, Ezekiel 28, that there were fallen angels. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3 and 4 tell us that a third of the angels rebelled with Satan, the beautiful angel, and were cast out of heaven. And so we know that he created all angels. And so several things that I learned this week that really meant a lot to me. First of all, I want us to look at the presence of angels in the life of Jesus, the presence of angels. First of all, notice that they reported about his birth. We know that the New Testament, Matthew, always gives us Joseph's view on what took place. In Luke's gospel, we learn that he tells us about from Mary's point of view. And so in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, you remember, Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. And it really tore him up, broken him up. He didn't realize that would ever happen. She was such a godly woman. And he was pondering over these things. He was praying over these things, wondering, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I love her. And this has happened. And of course, Angel Gabriel came and announced that the Holy Spirit had come upon her and that had impregnated her. And she would be bearing the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I thought about that. That must have been a very struggling time with Joseph. They were in that year of espousal, which was a year where they were planning for the consummation of the marriage. They went through a year period of time, and it was during this time that she became pregnant. And he struggled with that. He prayed about that. He worried about that. And, of course, the good news came from Gabriel. In fact, out of all the angels, I think Gabriel would be the one I would like to be about, because he was always the angel of good news. Michael was the one of war, and of course we know what happened to Lucifer. But also in Matthew chapter 2, and I thought was so amazing, God reported his birth of his son to the wise men, Gentiles from the east. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 that they came from the east. And, you know, I really believe, you know, in our tradition, we have three wise men with three gifts. But I really believe that there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wise men. Because the Bible says when these wise men came into the city, they began asking, where is he born, King of the Jews? And the Bible says that Herod was troubled. If you look at that word, he was worried. And I don't think he would have got, you know, totally worried about three guys on a horse or three guys on a camel. But I believe there were hundreds of wise men that came asking where this birth was to take place. And he soon wanted to find out what was going on. And he called those guys in. They didn't know who he was. But he was a maniac, a diabolical maniac. And they began to share. And in fact, he called his wise men in. The sad thing about that, they knew exactly where Jesus was going to be born. The Bible says in Micah 5:2, in Ephratah, Bethlehem, which is only 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And yet they didn't bother to go just 5 miles to see the greatest birth that ever took place. And so after the conversation, of course, Herod, in his way, said, you guys, when you find out what's going on, let me know, because I want to come and worship him. We know that was not true at all. And of course, the Bible says in verses 12 and 13 that they were warned in a dream by angels not to go back and report the good news to Herod. And then right after that, Joseph was warned in a dream by angels and to flee to another place until Herod, his time had come or he had passed on. But his son was worse than he was. And so they left, led by angels. So they reported the birth to the wise men, men of East, Gentiles, and also to Joseph. But then Mary looks on the other side in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, it must have been a total shock to her. She made the statement, how can this be, seeing that I don't know a man? I've never had a relationship with a man. And of course, the angel comes and announces the news exactly that the Holy Spirit had come upon her and that she would bear a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And I can imagine, you know, when the census was taking place, and how they had to go and walk and ride the donkey or the horse. You know, I imagine there was a lot of gossip going on. Man, did you hear about Mary? She got pregnant. And all the different things that were going on. It must have been very difficult for them to leave, to go back to where they were both born in Bethlehem because of the talk and the gossip and all the things that were going on. But the angel of the Lord came and spoke to her and calmed her fears, knowing that this was a God thing. This was all about God. And then also another amazing fact, in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, the angels even came to the wise men. These were outcast folks. These were folks that probably never hadn't had a bath in a long time and working with smelly sheep and out doing their thing. And they were outcast. They were not even given the right to vote or do anything like that. But yet an angel came and announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a heavenly host. We don't know exactly how many there were that came, but the light, the Shekinah glory of God came down upon that place. And they were excited, and they went to see this great event that happened in Bethlehem. So angels all over the place. We know in the very beginning they were there. God created them. And we know in the life of Jesus they reported about his birth. But second of all, they refreshed him at his temptation. You remember Jesus, one of the greatest things that happened to him, he was baptized in John chapter 3 by John the Baptist. God the Father spoke, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The angel of God came and anointed him. And then right after that, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And he went through the struggle of temptation, but he used the word of God three times. It is written, it is written. He quoted a passage in Deuteronomy 6 and also in Deuteronomy 8. And he quoted the word of God. And the Bible says that Satan left him. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, or Matthew 4:11, it says that the angel came after Satan left, and they ministered to him. They ministered to him. So angels were there I would imagine during his baptism, during when the Spirit of God fell upon him, as the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness, and after it was all over, him being victorious, the angels came and they ministered to him. So they reinforced him and refreshed him. Then I noticed something that I'd never seen before. Third of all, they really reinforced him in Gethsemane. You remember the prayer time where Jesus got his disciples, and then he took his group and came and said, "I want you to pray," and went back, and they had fallen asleep. And he made the statement, "Why can you not wait, watch 1 hour?" And then he went back and prayed again, went back, and they were asleep. But Dr. Luke is the only one that makes mention of this in Luke chapter 22 and verse 43. Luke 22, verse 43. I'm going to read it to you. "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." So even after he had gone through the temptation, even after going and sweating drops of blood, and by the way, that's only brought out in Luke's gospel as well. He must have been emotionally drained, physically drained, mentally drained, spiritually drained, knowing what he was about to experience, going through being beaten with a cat of nine tails. Most of the time that killed most people, but he was strong. And he went through all the mocking and the spitting and the pulling out of his beard and all the way to the crucifixion, many times raising himself up where he could breathe, his lungs being filled with blood and water, and eventually he gave up his life. But the angels gave him strength and power to be able to go through what he went through. And only Luke mentions that. They reinforced him with strength. And then we know in Matthew 28, the Bible says that the angels were there to roll away the stone. And by the way, they didn't roll away the stone for Jesus to get out. They rolled away the stone that the people could see in, because he had already resurrected. And then also in Matthew 28, the Bible teaches us that the angels reassured the women. They began to ask questions. "Where is he? Where have you laid him?" And the angel says, "He's gone just like he said he was. He's already been, he preached to you guys. He talked to you about the resurrection." And so they were reassured and had security of knowing that what Jesus had preached, he had fulfilled. And then finally, they reaffirmed the disciples there at the ascension. If you remember in Acts 1, as they gazed up into heaven, the Bible says the angels looked and says, "Why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen come will also come back likewise." So it's an amazing thing to see how angels reported about his birth and just totally filled his life. And I believe they're real as could be. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 13:2. It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels." I remember back at our first church back in the 80s, we were green as green could be, and the church was the same. We started out with about 20, and when we left, we were running about 100. And I can remember a time back in those days, we were not making a whole lot of money, and of course, we lived on deer meat. Thank God for Dad killing deer and providing and meat. Of course, we don't eat it now. I think we got a whole bunch then. We don't eat a whole bunch now. But I remember things were tight back in those days. In fact, I remember Robin saying every time we wrote our tithe check, we'd have to tell the secretary, "Hold on until Monday where we can get our check in the mail." And I can remember there was a time where there was a bill that really needed to be paid. And we were like $20 off. And I didn't know exactly where we were going to get the money. I didn't know what was going on. We just prayed about it. We said, "Lord, you know what our need is. And so, you know, you've always been faithful. You've always been there for us." And so one day, Robin had gone, I think, to the grocery store. And this man pulls up into a car and gets out, knocks on the door. And I go to the door and he says, could you step out? I said, "Well, sure." And so he started talking about the Lord. He started talking about how God was good, how God ministered. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, is this guy a wacko, or, you know, is this for real or what? And so we talked for about 15, 20 minutes. And he said, "Man, I really appreciate you coming out and sharing and talking about the Lord. You know, he's good." And all of a sudden, you know, he reached and he shook my hand and he slipped me a $20 bill. Just exactly what I needed to pay the bill, to be able to feel free again, not having that over us. I also remember a time where, you know, taxes, of course, that's the bad thing about getting rid of a new year is taxes for, you know, the next year. And I remember we were paying, being self-employed, we had to pay like $900 for taxes that year. And we only had $400 in the bank. And I didn't know what we were going to do. And Rob and I were praying about it. And I said, you know, the only thing I know to do, babe, is just write that check for $400, send it on, and just pray and ask God to do His thing. And I had never, I promise you, before the Lord today, I never mentioned that to anybody. I never mentioned that to our church. I never mentioned that to any of our kin folks. I said, I'm just going to pray about it and let the Lord lead. And about a week or so later, and it was getting sort of close to be able to get that in without the penalty, we went out visiting, and we were visiting a couple of families, and we actually came back. And inside the screen door, there was an envelope. And, you know, we looked around, didn't see anybody, and opened up the envelope, and there were five $100 bills. You can't tell me my God knows what we need, amen? He knows exactly what we need when we need it. Now, I don't know if an angel was involved in that or not, but somebody that God impressed upon, not even knowing our need, impressed upon them to give that certain amount of money, the exact certain amount that we needed to get into the IRS to be able to get out of that situation. So, I really believe that guy that came in the car, I asked folks, I said, this is the car that drove him off in our house. This is the man. Has anybody ever seen this guy? What about the car? I described the car, described exactly what it looked like. Nobody had ever seen the car. Nobody had ever seen the man before. And I've always wondered, was that an opportunity that God blessed me to entertain an angel unaware? Because they're real. They're real. And so it's really neat to think about how they ministered. Then closing, second thing I want to mention is their purpose. And I want you to notice, and real quickly because of our time, I want you to notice the purpose that they had in ministering to God's people. It's really amazing. And then I began to think, you know, the angels, they're mostly mentioned in the Old Testament. There's some occasions in the New. But yet, it sort of reminded me of the comparison of the Holy Spirit that lives in me and lives in you, how He ministers to us as well. Number one, angels pull us out of difficulties. Now, I thought about Genesis 19, where Lot, you remember Lot, he went with Abraham when Abraham was called away. And the Bible says that their herds began to grow so much that there was dissension among them, so they had to split up. And Abraham willingly said, Lot, you choose where you want to go, and I'll go the other way. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, unfortunately, saw the land that was great, the water was super. He says, I'll take this. And eventually, he pitched his tent there, eventually moved in, and then eventually, chapter 19 says he became part of the government there. And then all of a sudden, what happened? The Bible says God sent some angels to warn them. And they said, you know, you need to get out of here. You need to take your family. You need to move. God is fixing to destroy this godly place of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you read the story, these angels had to grab the hands of Lot, his wife, and two daughters and forcibly move them because the Bible says they lingered. You know, God's fixing to destroy the place, man. You need to get out of here. And they lingered and they forcibly took them out. Of course, Lot's wife looked back. She was told not to look back. She became a pillar of salt. And then they forcibly got them out in protection, warning them of what was going to take place. Also, I think about Acts chapter 12, sort of a comical situation where the church is praying for Peter. Peter's in jail. The church is praying for Peter's release, right? And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord came, shakes up jailhouse rock, shakes up the jail, and Peter goes out, goes to where they're meeting at prayer meeting, knocks on the door. Rhoda comes to the door. She hears it's Peter. She runs and breaks back up the prayer meeting saying, it's Peter. And you know, these spiritual people said, you're crazy. You're crazy. What were they praying for? They were praying for Peter's release. And so, you know, an angel of God came and got him out of the situation. And so I think that was a pretty neat thing. Number two, angels preserve us from all our journeyings. Angels preserve us from all our journeyings. I love the story of Genesis 24, where Abraham calls the oldest of the servant of Isaac and says, "Will you please go to my land, to my country, to my family, and find my son a wife?" And of course, the oldest servant had a little conversation. And the Bible continues to go down and says, "The angel of the Lord will go before you. The angel of the Lord will go before you." And so what is so awesome about this, he begins to pray. And you know, if he was still alive, well, hey, I know he's alive in heaven probably, but I'd want to be on his prayer list. Because the Bible says as soon as he began to pray and finished his prayer, guess who came up? Rebekah, God's chosen woman for Isaac. And he is so excited, so pumped up. He didn't know what God was going to do, how long it was going to take. But as soon as he finished praying, Rebekah comes with her water pots to the well to gain water. And this is the one that God chose for Isaac. But it was the angel of the Lord that directed him. It was the angel of the Lord that went before him, prepared the way. Sort of like John the Baptist did Jesus. So that was pretty neat, knowing the angels preserve us in all our journeys. Then third of all, angels point out the way that we should go. They point out the way that we should go. And then I noticed in Exodus chapter 23, where Moses was told by God that an angel would come and give him direction. In Exodus 23, it talks about the laws and the ark and all the different kinds of things. And he says, follow the angel who will give you direction. He said the same thing when the children of Israel, you remember, they took all their gold and threw it, and like Aaron said, "Well, we just threw it in the fire and a calf jumped out." Yeah, really, okay. But anyway, you know, they were worshiping this calf, and then he came down from the mountain. He was going up to get the Ten Commandments. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says the angel says, "You need to follow and I will give you direction into the promised land." So angels were all over the place. Other situations, in Judges 6, when Gideon was fighting the Midianites, the angel said, "I'll go before you." And there was victory. Also, in 1 Kings 19, when Elijah, remember, he confronted 480 prophets of Baal. And Asherah, 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah. Remember that great story in 1 Kings where, you know, whoever takes the sacrifice and the fire comes down and consumes it is God, and that's the one we need to follow. And all the other folks begin to cry out to their God and cutting themselves, and they're bleeding all over the place and praying and shouting out to God. And of course, Elijah sort of kids him and says, "Maybe you need to shout a little louder, maybe he can't hear you." Sort of just giving him a hard time. And then he began to pray. And then God just totally sucked up all the water that they poured on it and showed himself to be who he is, Almighty God. But the bad part about the situation, after this awesome victory, Jezebel, one woman, told him, "I'm going to kill you." And he runs for his life. And we find him under a juniper tree praying. And he's so depressed and so down and so discouraged. And then all of a sudden, an angel came and fed him and strengthened him and gave him what he needed. And then one of my favorite stories is found in 2 Kings 6. Remember the story of the Syrians where they had surrounded the nation of Israel? And man, they thought it was all over with. And a servant came to Elisha and said, "What in the world are we going to do? Look, we're surrounded. We're defeated. It's all over with. We're all going to die." And all of a sudden, Elisha said, "Lord, would you open up this servant's eyes that he may truly see what's going on?" And God opened his eyes, and there was a gigantic circle of angelic beings in chariots ready to go in and totally wipe out the Syrians. And that's exactly what they did. Then we think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We find an angel of the Lord there with them. Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, Daniel made the statement, "The angels of God came and shut their mouths." They're all over everywhere. They're real. They're here today. And I began to look at the purposes, and I began to see the Holy Spirit does the same thing in our lives. Just as the angels were profitable in the lives of the Old Testament and some places in the New, the Holy Spirit is profitable to us. He leads us. He guides us. He directs us. He instructs us. He gives us wisdom for making decisions. He protects us. The list goes on and on and on and on. And what an awesome thing it is to be a Christian, to be saved by God's grace, to have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, having the Word of God where the Spirit of God uses it to do miraculous things in our lives, to help us to know about God, help us to get an intimate relationship with Him, how we can love Him more, how we can serve Him more, how we can praise Him more. It's an awesome thing to know of the Spirit of God. Now I know why Jesus told His disciples in John 14, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. I've got to go, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that not only will He be with you, but now He will reside and live in you. And I can imagine what they thought about that. That must have been a little bit on the confusing side. But yet the Spirit of the living God lives and rules and reigns in our lives. He wants to be in total control and to dominate our emotions, to dominate our feelings, to dominate our decisions, to dominate where we go, what we do, what we see, what we hear, that we might honor the Lord God. Because the Bible says that this body was created for God to use. And the Holy Spirit that now lives within you, you have been bought with a price, the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Allow the Spirit of God to live in you. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, we'll walk in the Spirit. And so it's so important as we relate today the angelic ministry that was going on with the Holy Spirit's ministry that's now residing in us. What an awesome thing to think about, having Him leading, directing, and controlling us. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the Word of God and how awesome the Word is. Lord, I want to thank You for the Spirit of God who lives in those who have been saved. Father, my prayer today is if there's anyone that's in this building that's never truly trusted Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, their Master, that today would be that day. Lord, I pray for those who may be away from the Lord. They may be walking another route, going another direction. The Spirit of God is bringing conviction and drawing them back. And then there's a need to come and confess sin because He's faithful to forgive us. He's always forgive us. And to agree with Him and say, Lord, I've blown it this week. I've sinned this week. I've been angry this week. I've been bitter this week. I've been lustful this week. Whatever it might be, God, that we could just bring it before You, Lord, that our relationship would not be something that's far off, but our relationship would be one of intimacy and closeness. Lord, I'm thankful. We could spend, I don't know how many days, just talking about the angels and how they worked and why they were created and what they did. And these are just simple, awesome, truthful stories that, Lord, we can look at and read about and then compare the Holy Spirit's ministry to the angelic ministry. And Father, I pray that You would help us to be sensitive to Your leading. Lord, I pray that You might empty us of ourself, our sin, that we might be filled up with You, that You would lead us and You would direct us, Lord, that we might honor You in everything that we do. And Father, during this Christmas season, Lord, help us not to forget the true purpose and the true meaning with all the things that Satan has cluttered up this very special Christmas day, because that's what really separates us from religion and from all the other religions of the world is the virgin birth of Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's why Christmas and Easter are very, very special to us who have been born again, who have been saved. Father, I pray that You'll keep our focus on You, that You would direct us in everything that we do. We want to love You and honor You by the lifestyle that we live. We want to please You in everything that we do, Father, and we love You in Christ's name. Amen. Appreciate you being here. Let me just say, too, Rob and I are going to be gone this next Sunday. This Saturday, we'll be celebrating our 45th anniversary, and I wanted to get her out of town for a couple of days, and so we're going to be missing you guys, and Brother Ryan will be preaching, and I want you to pray for him as well as he prepares, and appreciate your prayers as we go off this weekend. Anything else before that we need to mention? It is really, really great to see you guys. It's always good to see you. One of these days, I'll be able to see you, you smile or you frown, one or the other. That'll be a great day. And hopefully, it'll be sooner than we think. Anything else? Brother Chris, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please, sir?